They don't understand. You'll learn. You have such a gift, Mallory. You can help people.
You helped people, and it's killing you.
And that was my choice, she replies and smiles again. And the outcome was worth it. That little girl was returned to her family.
And the killer.
I can't even finish the sentence. We'll get what's coming to him, she insists. But the fear is there at the edge of her voice. He found his way into her head and did so much damage, she's dying.
I will never do this. I love you, sweet girl. You have brought more to my life than I can ever say.
She cups my cheek again.
You are wonderful, and I know you don't want it.
But your gift is there, all the same. Sophia will teach you, and if you'll just open yourself up, you'll see me. I'll be here.
I can't do it. I love you too, I reply,
and watch as she finally closes her eyes and sighs deeply. I'm so selfish. She's tired, and she's hanging on because I can't let go.
Oh, how I don't want to let go.
I can't take my eyes off of her. I don't want to miss even one breath, one flutter of her eyelashes. Her eyes open one last time and focus on me. She smiles. I'll see you soon. Chapter 1. Mallory.
I'm sorry I'm late.
I rush into Miss Sophia's house, toss my handbag on the new couch that Lena and I talked her into buying, and hurry to the kitchen. I was supposed to be here a half hour ago for dinner with them both. I got caught up at the shop.
It's just jambalaya,
Miss Sophia replies with a smile. I swear she hasn't changed a bit since I was a child. Her light blonde hair has no hint of gray in it. Her face is free of lines, except for the few around her eyes from smiling, and she has more energy than Lena and I put together.
It'll keep on the stove until we're ready for it.
Were you busy today?
Lena asks and takes a bite of cornbread. She's leaning against the kitchen counter, still dressed in her work uniform of a tight black pencil skirt and red silk top tucked in, showing off her waistline. She's fair-haired, just like her grandmama, with bright blue eyes and the prettiest heart-shaped lips I've ever seen.
There better be some of that left for me.
I tuck the red napkin covering the bowl of cornbread aside and sigh in delight at the sight of the deliciousness. Oh, thank God.
This is my first piece, she says, and takes another bite.
I got delayed at the shop with Charlie Boudreaux, I say, finally answering Lena's question. She ordered some essential oils and stopped by after she closed her shop to pick them up.
The Boudreaux's are good people,
Miss Sophia says as she ladles our bowls of jambalaya.
You know them? I ask, surprised. You've never said anything.
I haven't known Charlie and her sister-in-law Kate long, but I like what I know. I met them at Charlie's shoe shop, head over heels, a few months ago. Since then, we've had a couple of lunches and one fun happy hour outing with Savannah, Charlie's sister. There are a lot of the Boudreaux's.
Their family has been here as long as yours and mine, Miss Sophia says, and passes the steaming bowls to us. Rich as Midas, but not showy with it.
Well, that we know, Lena says. Everyone in Louisiana knows that.
I went to school with Mrs. Boudreaux's oldest sister. Sweet woman. Lost touch over the years, and she moved to Florida, I believe. All I'm saying is they seem like good, hard-working people.
Well, that seems to be true, I reply with a nod. Charlie puts in long hours at her shop.
It's good to see you make a friend, Miss Sophia says.
But Lena just watches me, speculation in her eyes.
We're two businesswomen trying to make a go of it in the quarter, I reply with a shrug.
Lena isn't a jealous woman, but she's a very protective one when it comes to me, and it works both ways. You're not raised by known psychics and witches and not get bullied growing up.
You'll have to join us for lunch next time.
I'd like that, Lena says.
Speaking of lunches, the principal asked me out on a date today.
Miss Sophia and I look at each other, then at Lena.
What did you say?